welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Today's episode of the Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by SomersetSportsPerformance.com and also TennisTours.com. Thanks very much for joining me today, and today we're going to be answering a variety of questions. It's been a while since I've just done a Q&A format on the podcast, and today that's what I'm going to be doing, answering questions from listeners, most of them posted on the forums at EssentialTennis.com, and some of them emailed directly to me as well. Before we get started, just one quick announcement. I mentioned in a previous show that I'm putting together an Essential Tennis Clinic, and that has been confirmed. I'm already set up. I've got a good place with courts that we can use. It's going to be a nice facility, an indoor facility with 14 tennis courts, and I need to know by July 20th how many people we have so that I can get the correct number of courts to facilitate everybody. And also I need to be able to book other pros to help me out as well. And the program is going to be an all-day program. It's going to be on Saturday, August 29th. So mark your calendars for August the 29th. And it's going to be running from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And as part of that program, there's going to be drilling with technique work. We're going to be doing singles and doubles, strategy and points, drilling having to do with both singles and doubles. And there's going to be an Essential Tennis tournament as well, singles and doubles tournaments, where members who come to play and do the clinic are going to be competing as well, and we'll give away prizes, etc. So it's going to be a day-long clinic. I'm really looking forward to this. The price for all day, including food, refreshments, and prizes, is going to be $200, and this is going to be taking place on the north side of Baltimore, Maryland. If you think that you can make this and you would like to participate, you need to let me know very quickly. I've already got 9 or 10 people that are going to be signing up, and initially I was going to limit this to 12. I may let a couple extra people in. We'll see what kind of response I get. But if you're interested in participating in this clinic, you need to let me know right away. My email address is ian@essentialtennis.com, and hopefully we can get you guys included if you'd like to participate. So with that, let's go ahead and get started with today's show. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction. All right, let's get started with today's show, episode number 71 of the Essential Tennis Podcast. And I'm really looking forward to recording today's show. I've had a lot of guests with me on the podcast the last couple episodes, which I really enjoy doing. I like getting insight from other tennis professionals and people who specialize in certain parts of the game. I always enjoy having discussions with other people who are in tennis, and it's their life, and it's really what they're passionate about. So I like doing that. But the podcast for me really started out as a way to personally connect with players. Players who really love the game and have a passion for it. And so this is what I really enjoy doing most, is talking right to you guys, the players. So I'm looking forward to recording this show. As I'm recording this show, today is the 21st, I think. Today's the 22nd of June, which is a Monday, and Wimbledon just kicked off today. Guys, make sure you go and watch Wimbledon if you have access to it on TV. You can also watch it online. I believe ESPN360.com carries, I think, every court. So you guys can go and watch just about any match you want on ESPN360.com. So I guess not really any excuse. Go watch as much of this as you can. You can learn a lot from watching the pros. And by the way, download podcast number 67 if you haven't listened to it already. Myself and Royce in that show discussed what you should be watching for when you do watch the pros on TV. There's certain things that you can pick up on if you watch specific parts of their game and what they do, having to do with strategy and technique as well. So listen to podcast number 67 if you haven't heard that show already. All right, let's get going with our first question today. And it's a mental tennis question, which I always enjoy answering and talking about. And this question comes from JXG on the forums at EssentialTennis.com. He wrote and said, "One issue I have, especially on the return of serve, is that I become so fixated on the ball after the server makes contact that I don't move my feet and I don't fully rotate my core in preparation for the return. Because of this, I end up making an abbreviated stroke, and I'm often not in a good position to make a balanced shot. Consciously, I know I have time to move my feet and rotate my core, but I feel like when the serve is on its way over the net, panic takes over and I become convinced that I don't have any time to move, and I just need to watch the ball and make a desperation stab at the return. I experience a similar feeling, although to a lesser extent, on volleys, and really whenever my opponent hits a ball significantly harder than his normal rally shot. Does anybody else experience this or have any thoughts on how to deal with this issue?" JXG, yes, absolutely. I experienced this myself, and I'm pretty sure that any person who plays a lot of tennis can, to a certain extent, relate to what you're talking about. And this is kind of deer in the headlights syndrome, kind of getting caught emotionally or mentally in a trap. You know, the ball's coming right at you. You mentioned being at the net and also return of serve. The ball's coming at you quickly, but not so quickly that you don't have a chance to return it, but quickly enough that it kind of freezes you and it traps you and you just kind of get stuck. Yes, I know what you're talking about. And especially since I do most of my time on the court is teaching. When I do go out and play tennis competitively, it takes my brain a while to speed back up again and get used to the pace of shot that's competitive for me. And so oftentimes on the return of serve specifically, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll kind of get frozen and I end up making just a crappy shot. And it's a serve that, you know, it's not anything outside the realm of what I've seen before. And certainly I have the ability to make a very aggressive swing at most returns, but I just kind of get stuck. And I typically end up making an unforced error when that happens. I just completely miss the shot when I get frozen like that. So let me tell you my thoughts on how you can address this and get rid of it, hopefully, or at least figure out a way to remedy it and make it better. So let me give you a couple of suggestions here. First of all, you need to give, and all the tips I'm going to give you here, all the suggestions I'm going to give you, come back to a common theme, a common thing that we need to make sure that we're doing before the ball comes to us pretty much on every shot, not just on the return and not just when we're at the net, but in general. First of all, on the return of serve specifically, I highly recommend that you have a target picked out before the serve gets hit. Don't wait for the serve to get hit and have the ball coming at you before you try to come up with a game plan. And that's probably part of why this is happening to you. And I would actually probably bet money that's probably a large percentage of it. If you don't have any kind of plan before the ball gets hit and you're just kind of, you know, getting ready, you're prepared, you're focused. But if you wait until the ball starts coming at you to really think or come up with any kind of target or game plan, it's kind of too much at once. What's happening here, most likely, JXG, is that you're trying to multitask. You're having to come up with too many things at once. You've got to focus on your technique. You've got to focus on moving your feet to get to the ball. That could split into several different things. Rotating your core, you mentioned, making good contact with the ball. And all of these things should be things that should happen automatically. And you're trying to micromanage them and make them all happen at once at the same time. And that's too much. You'll get kind of a mental logjam, and there's too many processes that you're trying to figure out all before that serve gets to you, which is not a lot of time. Or the other example you gave was when you're at the net and maybe your opponent is trying to pass you. Not a lot of time there. And if you wait until the last second to try to come up with some kind of strategy or game plan, in addition to whatever technique thoughts you might have floating around in your brain that you think are important, and certainly technique is important, but it's not something you should be trying to figure out during a point, during a match, while you're going through the process of actually competing and trying to beat somebody. So let's get some of these things out of the way first. So one thing that we can put aside and figure out before the point even starts is your target. Pick a target. And I would suggest singles, you're going to want to be aiming cross court a large percentage of the time. I would say, you know, at least 70, 80% of the time, you're going to want to have a cross court target. It gets you set up in a good pattern. Make your opponent try the down the line shot to try to beat you. You don't want to get into a pattern where you're hitting down the line and your opponent is hitting cross courts. That's typically a remedy for disaster in general. We could spend a lot of time talking about that, but let's just leave it at that for now in terms of strategy. So I want you to just go ahead and pick a cross court target, pick a specific place on the court, something that you can actually aim for, and give your brain something to think about, one thing to focus on. Just focus on that target. If you're going to think about anything else, I just want you to think about making good contact. Make sure that you're making a good swing and that the ball is hitting the middle of your racket. So pick your target ahead of time before the ball gets hit, and then focus on making good contact. That's it. I don't want you to overcomplicate things by trying to fix technique and all these other types of things all at once. So give your brain something to do and then let your body react. There's no time to micromanage the entire process and try to do everything well all at once consciously. You can't consciously do all of that in the amount of time that it takes the serve to get to you where you have to make a return at the shot. So pick one thing, maybe two, and that's it. Now, if you're having a specific technique problem that day and something's happening over and over, maybe you're hitting the ball into the net again and again on your return of serve, then at that point, yeah, you need to take a step back and try to figure out, all right, what technique problem is causing this? But if you're not having a very specific issue like that, don't even think about technique. The practice court is where you think about technique and you try to work on your game and improve your strokes. Don't get into the trap of doing that during competition. So JXG, basically my advice is pick a target, make good contact, and that's it. Let your body react after that. If you have a specific technique flaw that's giving you problems, maybe you can think about it at that point. But really what I'd rather see you do is just write it down in your tennis notebook, put it in your tennis bag, and then the next time you go out on the practice court, practice that technique then. Try to make it a habit so that you don't have to be conscious of it the next time that you compete. We don't want to have all these thoughts floating around in your head as the ball is coming at you. So hopefully that gives you some good things to work on, and hopefully I've answered your question well, JXG. I'm going to post in the forums and make sure that you know I'm answering your question here today. And feel free to post back in that thread again if you have any follow-up questions. All right, real quickly, before we get to our next question, I just want to tell you guys about one of our sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast, and that is SomersetSportsPerformance.com, where you can go to get a personalized, comprehensive guide to your nutritional and fitness life. You guys can go there, sign up. It takes just a couple minutes. Fill in some information about yourself, and you get a daily guide to both your eating, and that includes grocery lists and recipes so that you can make yourself good quality, healthy meals. And you also get a daily guide to working out and getting your body in better shape. So between the two of those, it's like having a nutritionist and a personal trainer, all for under $10 a month. Starts at $9.99 per month. So go check them out. It's at SomersetSportsPerformance.com, and we thank them for their support of the Essential Tennis Podcast. All right, let's get to our next question, which is a technique question having to do with returning short, low balls from your opponent. This question comes to us from Aman D, who posted on the forums with this question, and he wrote and said, "This was a problem I knew I had, but really, it really manifested itself today while playing mixed doubles with my coach on the opposing team. My most common error was hitting the net due to a slow slice shot to me that requires a lot of upward swing motion and topspin. His advice is to really focus on getting under the ball more, and I find this to be moderately difficult since the ball is already practically touching the ground, and getting under it is awkward and difficult for me personally. Any thoughts?" Sure, Aman. And this is a difficult shot for anybody who typically hits with a lot of topspin, which usually means that their grip is relatively turned and kind of aggressive, more towards a Western grip on their forehand side. And this is kind of a sidebar here strategically for all of you listening. If you play somebody who you can see has a very aggressive grip, if they have a full Western grip on their forehand side, a low shot is usually very difficult for that type of player. And Aman did not say what type of grip he uses here, but just as a side note, if you guys play somebody who hits with heavy topspin and has a grip that's turned way over and their hand is underneath the grip, they're going to like high shots and they're not going to like low balls. So yes, I've got several thoughts here, Aman, for you to hopefully help your understanding of what you have to do to effectively hit this shot. First of all, my first thought is, I'm glad that you're trying to still hit topspin even on a low shot, even though it's obviously difficult, and this can be, again, very challenging for somebody who typically hits with heavy topspin. You could always open your racket face and just slice the ball back again. Aman said that this low short shot was a slice that was hit to him. You could just slice it back again, but that's a much more defensive shot than what you're trying to hit. And so I generally very much encourage my students to try to hit a drive or a topspin shot whenever possible. And even if it's difficult and maybe you're barely getting to it, and Aman described here that the ball is practically bouncing a second time. It's very low to the ground. So this is not an easy shot. But Aman, I just want to encourage you and tell you that I like that you're still trying to hit topspin on this shot, because that's going to help you develop as a player much more than if you were to just open up your racket face and kind of take the easy way out and kind of float the ball back or slice it back and play a defensive shot. That being said, if you're in a match and you're running into this problem again and again and again in a match, in a competitive situation, I would rather that you do the smart thing and put the ball on the court however you can. You've got to win. We have to find a way to win. And if you're not getting underneath the ball enough to hit with topspin on a particular day, I would rather you, in a competitive situation, just slice it back. Open your face, put the ball back in the court, make your opponent have to put the ball away instead of you making unforced errors, or maybe even a forced error into the net if it's a tough shot. But moral of the story there is, in a competitive situation, I'd rather you just open your face and put this in play. But if this is a practice situation, if it's a practice match or during a practice session, I would rather you continue to try to hit this topspin shot. So it's good that you're continuing to try it. Keep up the good work. Now, in terms of technique and actually hitting the shot, ultimately what we need is what your coach is telling you. Ultimately, we need the racket to get below the height of the ball. If the racket never drops low enough to get below the height of the ball where you make contact with it, it's physically impossible to hit with topspin. It's impossible to lift the ball, and it's impossible to rotate it and curve it back into the court again once we've lifted it, if the racket does not at some point get below where the ball is. Now, this can be very difficult if the ball is only a foot off the ground when you're making contact. That doesn't leave us a lot of space between the ball and the court to actually get our racket below it. And that's why this is a difficult shot. You're right, this is not easy. However, two things can actually get the racket down there. The first one is the actual path of your racket, meaning how you actually swing the racket. That's the first element of your stroke here that's going to allow us to literally get underneath the ball with the racket head. And so we have to get good at allowing the racket to drop. We have to get your arm relaxed and allow it to fall and drop so that the racket gets as low as possible so we can literally, again, get below the height of the ball. The racket's got to get down there or else this is not a possible shot. So the first element that we need to be able to control is the path of the racket. We have to let it drop and fall as far as possible. And I would recommend you practice just standing on the baseline or even the service line and drop your arm, hold the racket in your dominant hand, drop that hand and your arm down. Just let it fall down at your waist and relax your arm. Just let it fall, and the racket should be pretty close to the ground as is, just by dropping the racket. And then just reach out with your opposite hand and drop a tennis ball to yourself, let it bounce, and let the ball drop low to the ground before you make your swing. And this is a way that you could practice getting the feel for what it's like to allow your racket to drop as low as possible in order to get up on the ball and swing upwards as you have identified. That's what you have to do in order to make this shot. Now, secondly, there's another technique thing that we can do to be more effective at allowing the racket to get underneath the ball, and that is the position of your body, more specifically, the use of your legs to bend and then stand back up again as you make your swing. And the use of the legs can be absolutely huge in many strokes in tennis, one of them being the serve. They should play a large part in your serve to get an upward push into the ball. And on low ground strokes, using your legs and your knees to bend and push you back up again is priceless. It's something that you need to get good at. So you can use your legs as well to bend, and that kind of drops your entire upper body lower. That makes it easier to get your racket below the height of the ball to be able to lift the ball back up again and make a vertical swing. So a good combination of both dropping your racket down with your arm and your hand, allowing the racket to fall, a combination of that and using your knees, your legs to bend, the combination of those two things can create a very vertical upward swing path, which can create a lot of lift and a lot of topspin. Without those two things, you're kind of out of luck. I mean, we've got to be really good at least one of those, or pretty good at both of them, to really allow the racket to get low enough to be good at this shot. So those are the two technique elements that you've got to improve and you have to get good at. And again, using them well together is going to make you very effective at this shot. One more thing, Aman, before I wrap this up, and that is you need to start reading this shot a little bit earlier. When your coach or anybody else plays a slice, it's going to stay low. We know that. It's not going to jump up off the court surface. So you need to start reading this sooner and moving forwards earlier so that you don't get caught off guard and so that you don't allow the ball to drop so low, so that we don't want to put ourselves in this predicament over and over where the ball is continuing to drop and fall and you have to continue to hit these low shots. So start watching for this shot more often. Start moving in as soon as you see somebody hitting it. Even if they hit it pretty close to the baseline, you'd be better off taking it kind of early off the bounce on its way up so that we can hit it a little bit higher as opposed to sitting there and waiting for it to come to you, at which point most likely it's going to be pretty low. So don't let this drop move in. It's still going to be lower than a topspin shot or a drive. It's not going to come up as far, but you can still take it up a little bit higher contact point wise than what you're describing here. Even if your coach has a good slice, it's not staying literally a foot off the ground after it's bounced, most likely. It's coming up a little higher than that. So move in, and you won't have quite as much work to do once you do get there, if you can read this and come in a little bit sooner and take it a little bit earlier. All right, Aman, hopefully that answers your question. Thanks very much, and good luck. Let me know if you need any more help. Before our final segment of the show today, I just want to tell you guys about our other sponsor of the podcast, and that is TennisTours.com. TennisTours.com is the best place to go if you guys want to go watch professional tennis, especially if it's someplace other than where you live. They put together packages including accommodations, airfare, and tickets to tennis tournaments all over the world. They're really the best place to go if that's what you want to do. And watching professional tennis in person is such a great experience. I really suggest that you guys check them out if there's a tournament that you're thinking about going to see. Also, you can get a discount off your next purchase by using the promotional code ESSENTIAL when you check out. So go see TennisTours.com and remember to use the promotional code ESSENTIAL to get a discount off your next trip to a professional tournament. All right, now we're going to wrap up today's show with a little heart-to-heart talk between myself and you guys. And if you're listening right now and you downloaded the podcast to get free tennis instruction and you're curious what the topics were going to be today and you wanted to get some good input and maybe some ideas to improve your game, that part of the show is over. I did those two questions today, and this is something that I've been wanting to do. I've been wanting to talk to you guys about my outlook for Essential Tennis, for the podcast, for the website. I want to tell you guys what my plans are for the future and where I kind of see things going with the website. First of all, let me give you guys a little background about myself. I'm very passionate about tennis, about teaching, about working with other people who truly love the game, who want to work hard, who want to improve. That's why I've been doing the website, the podcast now for well over a year, and I've been doing all of this for free because I enjoy it. I enjoy giving feedback to people who appreciate it. I mean, I've kind of always said, especially as I started out in my professional teaching career, that I would always teach people for free who really wanted to be there, who really wanted to work hard and try hard. And I still do that from time to time, even though it's my job now and I work very hard at the club where I teach, and I teach a lot of long hours. There's just still nothing better than working with somebody who just really wants to be there and wants to work hard. And I enjoy that so much because that's kind of where my heart is as well. When I'm out there, I'm not a competitive player anymore, unfortunately. I'm a professional teacher, but I always gave 100% of everything I had out there on the court. That's just kind of how, I don't know how to do it any other way. I grew up paying for a lot of my own tennis lessons as a child, you know, doing paper routes, and I had jobs starting really from when I was 13, 14. My family didn't have a lot of money, and so, you know, I kind of grew up working hard for everything that I had when it came to tennis, and so I really appreciate working with people that are like that, because that's kind of where my passion is. That's how I can connect with people the most, is when they just really want to be there and they're giving everything they have. So when I hear from you guys and I hear from people who really appreciate what I'm doing, it just makes everything worthwhile. And I don't mind doing it for free. This is a lot of fun. I enjoy interacting with you guys. Now, that being said, I want to tell you guys a little bit about what I have planned for the future. I would love to have this become my part-time job or my full-time job. Eventually, I would love to be kind of an independent tennis expert, somebody who, you know, you hear about, you see in bookstores, see on TV, somebody who, you know, people gravitate to really get the best instruction or the best information possible. And I'm trying to do that through kind of a new media format, using the podcast, using blogs, using the forums, now the live show, the live call-in show. These are all ways that are relatively new, ways that I think that I can get exposure and kind of get my name out there and start building kind of a base of people who really appreciate what I'm doing and who hopefully think I'm doing a good job at it. And I want to build a base of people who are improving and who are going to keep coming back to the website for more and more. That's what I'm trying to create with EssentialTennis.com. And so as time goes on and I continue to work harder at the website, I would love to spend more and more time on the website. And video is something that I'd love to do in the future. Video is something that's very time intensive. And currently, those of you who don't know, I spend one day a week on the website. I've got Sundays and Mondays off. I spend Sunday with my wife and relaxing. And Monday is the day that I have to work on the website. That's when I record the podcast and I do all the rest of the work for the website. Eventually, I'd love to spend 2 days, 3 days, 4 days a week on the website and continue to create more and more content for you guys so that you can hopefully continue to get better and you can have more different ways to learn. Some people are just not audio learners. Some people need to see things demonstrated. I completely understand that. I'd love to do video in the future, but I have to kind of pick and choose what I do right now, because whatever I do decide to do, I want to be good at it. And audio is something that's relatively easy to do a good job at. So basically, I'm asking you guys for support. if you have appreciated what I've done with the website and with the podcast, if you want me to continue doing it, this has got to continue to grow. My listenership has got to continue to get bigger. As it does, I'll be able to get more sponsors. I'll be able to ask for more money from sponsors. And I can hopefully start to spend more time during the week on the website. I would love to do that eventually. I would love to make this my full-time job eventually. It would be to work with you guys, to interact and to communicate back and forth with you guys, the listeners. I would love to make that my full-time job. I can only do that if it continues to grow. And it has continued to grow. It's been a slow process, but downloads keep going up. Web traffic keeps going up. It's just little by little. And you guys can help me and support me. If you want to see me succeed at this, if you want to see EssentialTennis.com succeed over the long term, there's several things that you guys can do to help me to support the website and support my efforts at hopefully continuing to make everything that I'm doing here be more successful. And I've got a list of a couple of things here. First of all, you can tell other tennis enthusiasts about it. And this is probably the biggest way that you can help me. You can help me by telling when you go to play a USTA tournament or match, tell your opponents about it, whether you beat them or whether they beat you. Tell them about the website, because chances are they're really into it as well. Your practice partners, people, if you're a member at a tennis club or facility, do me a favor and tell them about the podcast. Tell them to download it. Tell them to come to the forums and talk to myself and the other tennis professionals there to get advice. It's a very friendly place to come. That's actually my second one. Sign up for the forums and be involved. If you're not a member at the forums already, let me encourage you to do that. It's such a great place, and I've been so pleased with how the forums have evolved, and it's just a family-like atmosphere there. If you're not already signed up for the forums, do that. I promise you won't regret it. Thirdly, if you're not subscribing for the podcast or the live show on iTunes already, please do that. Use iTunes to download both of those shows. iTunes is the largest place, the largest resource for podcasts in the world. And the more people subscribe to my show on iTunes, the higher of a ranking I get. The higher of a ranking I get, the more people get to see it and get exposed to both of those shows. So tell your friends to download and subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you don't already, please do that. Subscribe to both shows on iTunes, and that will help out my exposure. Three more. You can purchase an Essential Tennis t-shirt at the Pro Shop. And that's a great way to get exposure, or give exposure rather, for the website and for the podcast. They're inexpensive. I think they start at $16, $18. That's a way that you can help support myself and the website. Two more. You can be a fan of my Facebook page. If you type Essential Tennis into the search box on Facebook, you can be a fan of the Facebook page, and I'd love to see that grow. You can also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/EssentialTennis. And lastly, you can donate. And I've made this available just recently. I'm not asking for your guys' money right now, but that being said, if you really appreciate the effort I'm putting in, giving $5 a month goes a long way to helping pay for my hosting fees. I pay for a couple other things as well on a monthly basis. So if you can support me financially by making small donations, monthly subscription to a donation would really mean a great deal to me, even at $5 a month. And you can do that by clicking on donate on the front page of EssentialTennis.com. All right, so I'm going to wrap this up. I don't want to talk your guys' ear off. And those of you who are still listening, thank you. Thank you for listening to that. And if you're still listening, you must appreciate a little bit what I'm doing here. And hopefully, through my efforts, your game has improved, or at the very least, I'm giving you some good entertainment, something to listen to for kind of the tennis nuts on a weekly basis, something to listen to in the car or while you work out, on your way to work, on the metro or in the bus, etc. And I just want to be a good resource for tennis enthusiasts. And if I'm doing that, and if you appreciate it, please help me by doing one of the many things that I just listed. And hopefully we can keep on improving the website and things can continue to grow. And eventually I'd love to make all kinds of different stuff available for you guys so that more and more people can continue to improve their game. All right, that brings this episode of the Essential Tennis Podcast, number 71, to a close. Thank you for joining me today. And if you listen to my whole spiel there, I really appreciate it. I appreciate your support just by downloading this podcast and listening to it. You know, that means a great deal to me right there. If you can do any of the things I suggested to help me further, help support myself and the website further, that would really mean a great deal to me, and I would appreciate that. So until next week, I hope you guys enjoy watching Wimbledon. Check out the live show this coming Sunday. We're going to be talking about the results up until then. So until then, have a great week, everybody, and good luck with your tennis.